We are looking this month, taking four Sundays, to think about missions and how it plays a part in the life of the church and what it's all about. And the key kind of cornerstone passage, verse, is found in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has resurrected from the dead, and he is ready to ascend. And here's what we get. In chapter 28, verses 18 and following, said, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" In Luke's account, as he also wrote the book of Acts, Jesus said this: "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the very ends of the earth." Now, what's Jesus saying? He's saying, go. Very first thing here. He tells us first of his authority to make this commission, to do this sending. And what is he doing? You need to go. Not stay, but move. Get out there. Vamos. Take this gospel with you as you go on the move. And there is something happening here, as he tells us. You know, they're in Jerusalem. The church starts in Jerusalem. Judea is the area around that. And then you have this area of Samaria, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and to all the ends of the earth. Now, to go somewhere means to be present there. It's not just moving along. Go to some place and be there. This is something Jesus modeled for us. If we go to the Gospel of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we find out Jesus is the Word. It's a reference to Jesus. Jesus was God. And then it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." God made his dwelling among us. God was the first one to go. And where did he go? He came here. And he dwelt among us. Why would he do that? We see in John chapter 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." He came to us because he loved us, and he came to us to rescue us, to be that remedy that we just sing about and we remembered. It's the purpose of going. Well, where do we go? Well, he tells us, to all nations. Now, the early Christians, they knew Jesus' command to go out, get out of here, go places. But initially, the church stayed. It stayed put. It stayed in Jerusalem, probably because they were comfortable there. It wasn't the easiest place to do church, but they were doing it. They had it kind of figured out. The church was growing, and so they seemed to be content to just stay. But beginning with the stoning of a disciple by the name of Stephen, something dramatic put the church on the move to fulfilling Jesus' commission here. In Acts 8, we read, "On that day," the day that Stephen was stoned to death, "a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem." So this place where they were comfortable, they stayed. And it says, "And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." So they finally started to fulfill what Jesus had told them to do. "And those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip," who would be a comrade of Stephen's, "went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there." Now, this is interesting because Samaria was made up of people who moved in from other places when the Jews were out in exile. And there was some intermarriage going on. And so what began to happen, you had what the Jews of pure blood, so to speak, they saw these sort of half-breed type of people, and they did not get along. And there were centuries of animosity that existed with them, even up to the time of Jesus being here on earth. So going there was a step across a great cultural boundary. But look how the Samaritans responded. When they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. That is, they accepted the message. They converted. They took this good news to heart. They put their hope in Jesus. They called on his name. Sometime later, Philip was told to go on down to the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And on that road, he encountered an Ethiopian official and took the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And it's easy to imagine now that Ethiopian, when he went back to Ethiopia, what did he do? He took the gospel with him and began to share it there. Bit by bit, we see the gospel going to all nations. Now, there was one big kind of divide that existed. It was bad enough with the Samaritans, but with the Gentiles, that is, any non-Jewish person, you just didn't hang out with them in that day. The Jews had some very strong rules. But the gospel was intended for the Gentiles as well. But God had to do something pretty extraordinary to make things happen. Peter was hanging out in a seaside town, and he went up one day to pray up on a rooftop. And he's waiting on dinner to be made. And while he's there, he falls into a trance, and he has this vision. He has this vision of some kind of sheet coming down. And in that sheet are all these unclean animals that people would eat, but they were unclean, so the Jews didn't eat them. And he was told three different times, arise and eat. And he said, no, I would never do that. I would never eat anything unclean. And he was told, do not consider something unclean that God has made clean. And he wondered about that. And it says in Acts 10, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. So who are these fellows? Well, early in the story, we read about a guy by the name of Cornelius. He's a Gentile. And he had had a vision to go send for Peter. This is a guy who was seeking the God of the Jews. And God says, I'm going to use him to get over this initial boundary. And so Peter realized he should go. That's where he needed to go. And when he heard this Cornelius story, he realized, oh, that's what the vision was all about. The gospel is meant for everyone. Everyone. But they still kind of kept all of this happening in this geography of Israel. And so God did a little bit more. There was a guy by the name of Saul. Saul was a Pharisee. And Saul was one who really led the persecution in the church that we read about in Acts chapter 8. But in Acts chapter 9, we read of his conversion and how he came to realize and understand that Jesus was exactly who Jesus proclaimed himself to be. And he turned his life around. And so, sometime later, Saul is hanging out in Antioch, a church that is full of Jews and Gentiles. Still from the same geography, but something's going on here. And it says, now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. And that was the beginning of several missionary journeys that Saul, who would later be called Paul, went on. And they really began to go international in their work. So they were going to all nations. And what were they doing when they were going to all nations? They're doing what the church is called to do, make disciples. They were making disciples. The ultimate purpose of the Great Commission is to make disciples. And ultimately, to make disciples who make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is really just a student. Someone who's studying, who's learning, who's trying to figure this out. And notice, you'll see where discipleship falls within this conversion. It actually follows first, before there is a conversion experience. It's giving people a chance to explore and discover for themselves who Jesus is. That's some of you in this room, maybe right now. You're just checking this thing out. And folks, we invite you to do that. We want you to see who Jesus is. If you weren't here with us this past spring and summer, I encourage you to go. All our sermons are on our website. And you can go there and you can see, and we went through the Gospel of Mark so that we could familiarize ourselves again with Jesus. And if you weren't able to be a part of that, I encourage you, invite you to do that, because ultimately, folks, it's not about the church, it is about Jesus. And you need to know him. So we're making disciples, we're making students. But at some point in time in our studying, in our learning, in our discovery, we have to make a decision. The gospel invites us to a point where we have to decide, will I follow Jesus or not? Am I in or am I out? Will I believe or not? And one of the things that we see here is that the way we express that we are in is through something we call baptism or immersion. And so we make disciples, and when people are ready to follow Jesus, if they choose to follow him, they're baptized. Where do we get this from? If we go to Acts chapter 2, on the first day, the day that the church is born, on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preaches the first gospel message. And he just lays it out there for them about who Jesus was, what he had done, what the people had done, and said, here it is. And then he ended it with this. He said, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? How are we supposed to respond? How can we undo this? How can we make this right? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The way that we express our decision to follow Jesus is through the waters of baptism. Now, why is that? Paul tells us in Romans, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And Paul will go on to say that we're not free from sin until we die to sin. How do we die to sin? Well, in a death. When does that death take place? When I die physically someday? No. When I'm lowered into the waters of baptism, when I die with Christ, and I'm raised to a new life. Immersion gives us that picture. It gives us that portrait that we can carry with us through our whole life. That if we ever have doubts, we can look and say, there was this moment that I know, not because of anything I did, but because of what Jesus did on the cross and what God did in that moment. I died to my sin, and I have been raised to a new life. And I need to live that new life. But there's more to this commission. The writer to Hebrews said, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And he's chastising them a little bit because these folks had just kind of stopped growing. They stopped investing in understanding the gospel and even of passing that along. And in this, hidden in this here, if we see it, the implication is that we need to teach what we have learned from Jesus. So we need to learn it ourselves and then pass along what we're learning. Here's an important lesson, an unfortunate aspect in the history of mission work throughout the world has been confusing and conflating the teachings of Jesus with our own cultural expressions and norms. That is, when we've gone to other places, whether it's to Africa or to Asia or even here to North America back in the 1800s, when people were bringing the gospel and they'd go to Native American groups, they'd say, okay, well, listen, you got to stop being a Native American. You got to start acting like an Englishman or an American. You gotta look like us and talk like us and act like us and dress like us. That's not what the gospel was intended to do. And one of the great things about the gospel is that it goes past cultures and languages and barriers. And people can take it in and bring it and allow it to transform them. Do you know, in Korea is one of the success stories of the Christian missionary movement. But there weren't missionaries who went into Korea. There were Koreans who met with missionaries in another country. They heard the gospel sermons and they took it back to their country. And it spread like wildfire. And some of the largest churches in the world are in South Korea. We just need to give people the good news. We need to give them the tools to build and raise their churches and to bring the good gospel, bring the good news to their folks and let it work. And then Jesus leaves us with this thought, to remember that he is present. He is present. We are not left alone to this task. Jesus promises his continual presence with us. Now, why is that so important? Because mission work, folks, is not easy. Going off to, especially if you do international missions, going off to some place, might say, well, that's really glamorous. Wouldn't that be exciting? Can you imagine being in a place where you are just a fraction of a minority? I mean, you're just the smallest little part. To be in some places where you're struggling to remember the language and speak it, where you don't look like other people, where all your customs, your norms, all the things that make you comfortable in life are not there. To be thousands of miles away from family. All those things that we take for granted. I remember I was in Ghana, Africa, and our host, she was a missionary there, she was getting some fruit ready, and I know she had to soak it in some bleach water before we could eat it to kill off any germs. Things that we just kind of take for granted here. To live that life, it is not an easy life, and it has never been. Listen to Paul talk about his hardships. He says, I've been in prison frequently. I've been flogged severely. Been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, and in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. That's why it was so important for Jesus to be present. And there are times when we're reading the Acts when Paul would say, yeah, Jesus came to me, ministered to me. But folks, there's another way that Jesus is present, and that is through us, because we are the body of Christ. So one of the ways that Jesus makes himself present is through us, his church. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. It's good when we write checks. When we, as a church, we have a portion of our budget that goes to missionary work. I know that many of you in here in this room, you support individually different missionaries, either adding to what we do with our missionaries, or you have some other folks that you support. And that's all very good. But we need to be present as well. Now, that may not mean that we can go and just, you know, constantly be at their side where they're at. But with technology, it is so easy to keep in touch and to follow with people and to communicate to them and let them know, hey, I am thinking about you today. I am praying for you today. I'm thinking of you. I love you. You're not alone. We are here. So can you do that? Can you be present? Here's a question to ask. What about you and I? Where do we need to go? Where do we need to go? Because that commission wasn't just for a few, it's for all of us. So where do we need to go? The idea of that phrase is, as you are going, we're all going somewhere, right? There's a story in the Gospel of Luke about Jesus and his crew sailing across the Sea of Galilee to a Gentile area, the Gerasenes, and there they encountered a man who was filled with demons. And Jesus cast those demons out, and the man who was a wreck, he was a monster in many ways in the way he behaved, hurting himself, hurting anybody who got near him. I mean, he was just a terror, and now he was at peace. And the people came out and they saw that and they were amazed at that and they were also afraid of it and afraid of this Jesus who made that possible. And so they said, hey, Jesus, would you mind just going back? And we read this, the man from whom the demons had come out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Folks, there's a lesson for you and me. We can go all over town and tell people what Jesus has done for us. Whether that's at work, or at school, in our neighborhoods, in our home. What has Jesus done for us? Yesterday at our men's breakfast, we asked that question. Just threw that out there. Said, if you could, then let's just take forgiveness of sins off the table as a discussion point, because we're just going to take it for granted that's happened. But beyond that, what has Jesus done for you? And it was beautiful to hear man after man after man say, here's where my life was headed, and here's how Jesus changed it. As I put his teachings into practice, my life changed. Here's where I was going, and now here's where I'm at. And not that they have arrived to the man, everybody's saying, I'm not there yet, I still got a long way to go. But they could see the hand of God moving in their life, and how much better their life was now than what it had been. We often think that we have to have dramatic conversion stories to share. No, just think about the direction of your life and where you are now, thanks to Jesus. And maybe Jesus has been guiding your life. You've let him been guiding you since you were a young person. That's a story to share. Someone has said, you know, when this idea of sharing the gospel with people, you don't have to know a lot of theology, but you might want to know some buttology. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. What difference has Jesus made in your life? And that's the story we can take. And we can talk about forgiveness of sins all day long, but guess what, folks? We live in an era and a culture that says there is no such thing as sin. But you can still tell. You can still tell people what Jesus has done for you, including the forgiveness of your sins. But share with them, wherever you are at, wherever you are going, what Jesus has done for you. So let me just ask you, are there any people groups that you're holding off of, any boundaries you won't cross in your mind? Are you learning so that you can pass that along? Will you commit to being present? As we go through this month, you'll begin to hear more and more about our missionaries. And on the 17th, as a part of our Thanksgiving dinner, we're going to have a way for you to kind of just see who all our missionaries are and have an opportunity to write them a thank you note and a card. We're also going to be taking through this month later an offering that we can share with them, divide it among them, and share with them as they're getting ready for Christmas, just a way to say thank you. Well, one of the things that we do is put in our program. Now, this month we have everybody, but you'll notice we've been going along and sharing with you each month a different missionary so that you can find out how to connect with them, who they are. And it's not that you have to connect with all of them, but if you can pick someone, some team, some area, some part of the world and say, I'm going to invest in knowing them and supporting them and letting them know that I am present, that Jesus will be present with them through me as I support them and encourage them. So this morning, where are you? What's the next? What's your step? Perhaps you're one of those folks. Someone has come to you and shared the good news of Jesus, and you're ready to accept it. You're ready to be buried with Christ into the waters of baptism and raised to a new life. Maybe you've already done that, and you want to come here and join us as we go and we are present. Become a part of this body of believers. Maybe you just need some prayer right now. You need Jesus present with you because there's some hurt in your heart. You can come up and you can pray. Use these steps like a prayer altar. But if God is nudging, will you go where he's nudging you to go? Let's pray. Father God, we ask you right now, I'm just going to trust and ask that each one of us has a story. And each one of us needs something, some kind of nudge, a direction, a push to where to go. And I trust that your Holy Spirit will do that this morning. If there's something that we need to be convicted of, convict us of. If there's some way we need to be comforted, comfort us. If there is a direction we need to go, show us that direction. But I pray, Father, in these next few moments as we sing this song, move among us so that we will move in this world and go. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.